The third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after rising from the dead. In each of the accounts of the resurrection, or the appearances rather, after the resurrection of Jesus, he is not recognised. And that's probably a good way for us to get involved in the gospel story and the unfolding of the gospel mission, which is the church. How do we recognise Jesus in our life? And if we don't recognise him at all, what's missing? What's going on? What's going wrong, I would say? Don't feel disheartened if when I say to you, how do you recognise Jesus in your life? Please don't feel disheartened, because that's really the common denominator for nearly all of us. We don't find it easy to recognise Jesus in our life. So I think John is using the example with Simon Peter to identify, or help us identify, with the difficulty that comes with pursuing our faith when we can't physically touch or see the person that we have the most faith in. And Simon Peter is a very good example. And if you read the next part of this gospel in the longer version, you'll have that very famous conversation where Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" And he says that three times to counteract the three times that Peter denied Jesus when we celebrate that on Holy Thursday night with the crowing of the rooster. So Peter becomes for us, in a sense, a symbol of what it is to struggle with recognising Jesus. He becomes for us a symbol of what it is to answer a call, which he did. We get two accounts of Peter's call. So what it is to answer a vocation or a call in life with faith. We also get the example of what it is to be fallen, to be people who mess it up. And then what it is to really reassess, and in our maturity, in some sense, we answer the call again in our life. Now, that only happens because of the experience of Jesus in our life. If it wasn't that way, there would be a downward spiral, or we would be the most selfish people on earth. And we're neither of those things, because somewhere along the line, we have recognised Jesus in our life. And more often than not, for you good people, you actually do something with the Jesus that has come into your life. Though you can't sit there when you're lonely and play cards with him. He's not going to get up and pour a scotch for you. He's not going to go down and get the pizza for you. That's not the way it works. We recognise him in simple but varied ways. And that's probably why the gospel writer today uses the example of Simon Peter going back to where he started. Simon didn't go up a mountain and pray and wait for the Lord to appear. His heart was broken and his mind was shattered. So he went back to where he first heard the call. He went back to the sea, in a sense. He was a fisherman. So what did he do? He went to work. He didn't take a flexi. He went back to work with his broken heart. And it was in doing what he does best and what he knew best that out of that encounter he came to recognise the Lord. The number of fish, an odd number, 153, the number of fish simply represents the people that the church can pull in together, can bring to recognise Jesus. It's not any... It's just a number that we use to say many, many people. And then there were seven disciples there with him, but Peter's the main character. And remember, Peter was called, he was fallen, and then he was called again, and this is his second calling. So don't be surprised in your life if you're lost in the fallen part of your life. Don't be surprised. We have to be open to hear that call again. And the best place for some of us to do that might be go back to work. Go back to where it began. It might well be. I don't know. But that's what worked for Peter. And as a result of that, we have the church. And we have more than 153. So So how do we recognise Jesus? It's not going to be in the physical for most of us. There are saints who clearly have, but for most of us it'll be in the spiritual. And I think milking this gospel, we would say that we recognise Jesus in people and we recognise Jesus in actions. So the disciples were there, and Peter particularly. The actions, they were doing what they do, they work. Jesus' actions, and then the events that take place in our life. And this event culminates in having a meal. Hello, we're going to be here in a moment. It culminates in the event of communion, if you like. Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. So the people, the actions, and the events in our life. Now the people, the actions, and the events, as I look at it, they can be good or bad, if we want to look at it in a moral sense. So we do meet good people and we meet bad people. You could translate that into being healthy, unhealthy in a psychological sense or spiritual sense. The actions, they can be good or bad. They're usually the things where we attach something with morality. And the events in our life, well, they can be seen as being good or as bad as well, depending on what the outcome of the event is, I suppose. So we might have a death, for example, in the family. Well, a death in the family is possibly a good thing for somebody who has been suffering a long time. It would be a bad thing for a little infant, for example, or a tragic car accident. We could say that that's not a good thing. But in that event, we need to find Christ. We need to be open and available to his presence, despite our tears and our broken heart. Jesus said, throw the net out the other side. So perhaps we have to turn around and look in the other direction. These are all questions. They're not answers for you, but they're things that I think we need to try to establish so that we have a relationship, and it's a two-way relationship, not a one-way relationship. So when we look at people and actions and events, I'm just going to simplify it a little bit more for you. The people, it's their presence in our life. We recognise Jesus in people. Now, you all know that. You could be standing here delivering this sermon. You recognise Jesus in the goodness of people, in the compassion. You recognise in the actions of people and in the actions that take place in events. It's either what people do or do not do that either presents Jesus or takes Jesus away from us. And these things are the compassion, the forgiveness, the mercy, the love that we either demonstrate or we don't. And the events in our life to find Jesus, I'm just going to say this to you tonight as a suggestion. If you want to look for Jesus in the events of your life, my theory is use your senses. Use your five senses and you will find him. So, for example, the sight. You may need to be someone's eyes. There are people who cannot see, not just physical blindness, but are blind to whatever. You may need to be their eyes. Sound, when we hear about listening, using our ears, sound, we need to speak honestly and openly and faithfully and compassionately to the people that we encounter in the events of our life. We need also to listen. So sound and hearing is one thing, and talking interrupts it a lot of the time. But with our ears, the senses of our ears, listen. And you will encounter Jesus. Taste. I think taste for us, with using the senses of our taste, it really means we've got to feed the poor. We know what it's like to have a good meal and everything, but we're actually asked to let the poor taste what we taste. And in that encounter, that meal, we will find Jesus, I'm convinced. The feeling that we have, using our senses, a feeling, I think that come Jesus presents himself there in the people that we meet, in the company that we keep. And the fifth sense, of course, is that of smell. Now, you might think, oh, how are you going to find Jesus in smell? I'm saying to you, get close. Get close enough to smell the people that you're with. And that's not a case of whether you like their perfume or not. That's not what I'm talking about. It means using our senses to draw as close to people, not distance ourselves from them, so that we physically use our five senses, and there we will discover Jesus. no matter whether there's joy or sorrow in our life. You may have your own theory, as long as you put that theory into practice, as you answer the call, as you recover from the fall in your life. It's what you do with that response that becomes the most important thing. So how do you recognise Jesus in the complexity of your life?